It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
I think that, you know, two things happen. Obviously, our schedule is very tough in April, and we're playing teams that are all playing really good baseball right now. But, you know, and many people know the importance of Tim Anderson, but we didn't have our shortstop for a lot of those games. And so obviously, we weren't at full strength going against them, and So that plays a factor in as well. But, you know, the biggest thing for us is we need to take care of this month of May and bounce back and be at full health and play the best of our ability and do what we've been doing these last five games. So hopefully that'll turn things around and we'll get going. And, you know, obviously it'll be a different type of baseball for us.
That's Gavin Sheets, who joined Inside the Clubhouse yesterday morning on The Score. Inside the Clubhouse, your 52-week-a-year baseball program from 9 to 11 on Saturdays. And then there is me, Matt Spiegel, with Hit and Run during the baseball season from 9 until 12. Today, up until 12:45, which is when Cubs pregame happens, the finale of the three-game set with the Marlins. It'll be Hayden Wesneski against Sandy Alcantara. That pregame comes your way at 12:45. And then the White Sox later on this afternoon will send Michael Kopech to the mound against Graham Ashcraft. So Kopech and Ashcraft, Graham Ashcraft, very good stuff for the Reds. We will talk about him, among many other things, with Eno Saris from The Athletic, who's just terrific talking baseball. We'll talk to Eno at noon. The great Vida Blue has passed away. I loved Vida Blue. It just an incredible player, amazing career. It kind of boggles the mind when you think about the different aspects of baseball life that he lived through and some of the accomplishments there. And there's a wonderful trivia question relating to Vida Blue. I don't want to say any more about it because a couple years ago we had a great chance to talk to Vida Blue on this show. And I loved it. You know how much I love getting a chance to talk to see some of these former players and kind of go through their whole career and just sort of relive some stuff. It was really special and really memorable. So we're going to go ahead and grab that and play that for you later on to finish up this hour. Looking forward to that. Next hour in the 11 o'clock will be a lot of Cubs, where we'll focus with Cole Wright on Marquee at the top of the hour. And then we will talk about the St. Louis Cardinals and their disastrous moment that they're experiencing as well. We'll do that next hour. But right now, Cubs and Sox conversations, both. Usually we take an hour full of phone calls after I kind of monologue a bit at the beginning of the show. Had Nick Madrigal there at 9:40. If you are one of my peoples on a Sunday morning, maybe sitting on the balcony, sitting in the garage, sitting in the backyard, or in the living room with the window open, the recliner with the window open, wherever you might be. Hell, driving around, erranding. Are those all the options? Could you be listening anywhere else? Yeah, there's a few other places, I suppose. But if you're one of my peoples and you're like, man, I got thoughts on the White Sox and the Cubs that I got to get off my chest, this is your moment. Dial it up and get involved. We are guest-free this hour, and we'll take some calls here for the first couple of segments of the hour. 312-644-6767. That is the phone number to get in on Hit and Run. And by the way, download the Odyssey app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. If you have not yet, you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook as well, where you can like the 670 The Score page. So closer intrigue on both sides of town. Liam Hendricks in one of the more lovely, good vibe stories of the year has recovered from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, has declared himself cancer-free, and after speaking to the media on Thursday, went down to Charlotte and made an appearance against the Charlotte, or for the Charlotte Knights last night, I guess it was Friday, in AAA, and was really good, because that's what he does when he's healthy. And remarkably, he's healthy. He threw a great inning and was able to talk about it afterwards and had a beautiful moment there where the fans were cheering for him. It was he's pitching for Charlotte, but he's going against Gwinnett. And he had a 1-2-3 inning and afterwards talked about the kindness of the fans and how it felt there in the stands. This is Liam Hendricks from Friday night.
Threw my warm-up pitches, and then they made a PA announcement, and both teams kind of got out and started like clapping, which is, don't get me wrong, is really, really nice, and I very much appreciate it. Maybe very emotional, but I'm a guy who pitches on anger, and it's really hard to get angry when you know that the other team's full of nice people that would do something like that. So that was a little tough to get locked in. And then being wet, I slipped on the first pitch and then had to kind of finagle my mechanics a little bit just to make sure that I was getting it down there all right. But hey, a clean inning is a clean inning with a scoreless and a strikeout. So that's always good.
That's awesome. I love the self-awareness. I pitch on anger. We've known this about Liam as we've followed him closely now here. We know that he finds ways to get angry. Even when he doesn't have any reason to necessarily be angry, he still finds ways to do it because that's what drives the man. In case you missed some of the context of the Liam Hendricks story, remember this. When he was in Oakland, one of the superpowers of Hendricks, one of the reasons I liked the contract when he signed it, okay, was that he was able to pitch a lot. He was a guy who was able to pitch in a lot of extended innings and really, you know, go long and then go again. You saw it in the playoffs against the White Sox in 2020, where he threw a ton of pitches in their game 2 win and was still able to come back and close in their game 3 win. There were a ton of long outings that he had in Oakland, a lot of 2-inning outings plus 3 outs, sometimes 3-inning outings. He had more than just about any traditional closer in baseball in his final couple years in Oakland. Then all of a sudden he got here and he wasn't utilized that way. And I thought some of that was Tony La Russa and just kind of old school bullpenning, and he wants to turn Liam Hendricks into Dennis Eckersley. And then last year, down the stretch, Liam also expressed that he couldn't do it. He expressed that he wasn't feeling as strong and as comfortable in when it was time to go back-to-back. He just couldn't do it. And he was sad. There are quotes out there that are intense from him in August and September of last season where he's talking about, I know that's part of why I was signed, and to not be able to do that feels really, really bad because I just haven't felt strong. I haven't felt myself. Liam Hendricks talked about that. Well, folks, he was living with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He first noticed the lumps in his neck last June. That means dude was pitching the second half of the year and maybe the first half of the year with cancer the entire time. Can you imagine in a high-precision athletic scenario, a guy like Liam who does incredible amounts of self-analysis mentally, psychologically, physically, trying to figure out where he is and not being able to figure out why he's not strong in August and September, can't go back to back, feeling like he's letting his teammates down, and it was freaking cancer. Whew. That really left a mark on me when I think about Liam's efforts and the mental toll that it can take.
It's scary stuff, man. I unfortunately lost my dad in 2015 to cancer, and it was one of those things. He kind of went through, obviously he was a plumber, so not the same physical standards, but he's trying to lose weight. And you go through this and you think, you know, oh wow, you know, this is good. I'm losing 5, 6, 7 pounds. And you're like, wait, I've lost 10, 15 pounds.
Yeah.
You just kind of, that's that realization. You're like, oh crap. And for Liam, I'm sure at least it was probably maybe a little bit more of a positive thing, because maybe not obviously because it's cancer, but at least he can know what's the issue and how he can solve it. But it's such a daunting thing to deal with.
Yeah, and it's the not knowing, which I'm sure your dad could have related to it, as you feel. And you know, and any of us who've had a parent or a relative who's been lost to cancer, you know, that scary feeling of, I don't know why, I guess I should go see a doctor, that kind of thing. And for Liam to deal with that. And then he makes his way back. Do we have the cut from the other day of him talking about Jameson Taillon and the text that he got? Because he said he got texts from lots of different players around baseball. And Jameson Taillon, the Cubs starter, for those who don't know, had testicular cancer, ended up getting a testicle removed, and fought his way back, dealt with it, did what he has to do. And Liam Hendricks spoke the other day about getting texts from various ball players, including Jameson Taillon. And this is what Liam said Taillon sent to him.
The biggest message that I got, and I want to read it out because I don't want to get it wrong, was from Jameson Taillon. And his was, it's your journey. Nobody can tell you what to feel or what to do baseball-wise. Do whatever you feel is right. And that was on January 30th. And I think I had treatment. I think I actually threw a bullpen the next day, right around there. So I was like, screw it. I want to push this. And because before that, I was just planning on playing catch, making sure I was staying somewhat fit and then moving forward. But that was one of the messages that really hit me in the eyes. And I think it was right around that the next day or a couple days later, I was on the mound throwing a bullpen. And that's the only reason that we're even talking about rehab assignments this quickly, because I've been throwing bullpens. I've gotten into 2 games in Arizona. And without that kind of message, and that was relayed from Chad Bettis to Jameson and Jameson to me, and now being relayed on to another couple of people as well. But there's messages like that that kind of really, really forced me to dig deep and be like, look, I've done this my entire career. This is what we're going to do. We're going to try and push the limits and see what we can do. And you know what? If, at the end of the day, if I can push and I can feel all right, that's what we're going to do.
That's pretty awesome. So Jameson Taillon among those with messages for Liam that he took to heart and just started fighting. And he will undoubtedly be back at a certain point for the White Sox. And then will he be trade bait? Bob Nightingale this morning says the White Sox are likely to pick up the $15 million option for Liam because the buyout is almost exactly the same. If you're just joining us, Bob Nightingale also this morning said that the White Sox are not going to bring Lucas Giolito back and will entertain trade offers for him as the deadline approaches. Nightingale conceding that the season is over. Quickly on the quickly on the Cubs closer front. Yesterday, Adbert Alzolay got a save chance and got it done. Pretty cool. Michael Fulmer was the guy at the beginning of the year, obviously struggled and lost that job. Keegan Thompson has had, I think, one save chance that didn't go well. He's had a couple of, I think two of his last 4 times he's been hit kind of hard. He's had wildness issues multiple times. I think Adbert Alzolay has been the best Cubs reliever on the year overall. Just looked great, emotional, very invested, digs it, seems to have the mindset for that gig. And remember, mindset matters greatly for closer and for leadoff. Don't let anybody ever tell you different your entire freaking baseball life. It just matters. So is Adbert the closer? I mentioned Cody Hoyer. Part of the trade for Craig Kimbrell, big-time arm, had Tommy John last year. Last night, for Cody Hoyer at Iowa, he threw 19 pitches, got 2 outs. The highlight was a strikeout of Zach Collins on a 99.9-mile-per-hour fastball. He threw 5 fastballs at 98.9 or higher. I want to know what the slider looks like. I want to know how he felt afterwards. And what? 2-3 more outings at Iowa for Cody Hoyer? Maybe more? Not too many more.
That would time up with the 60 IL that he's on. I think he's almost done with it.
So, the 60-day injury list, and then they'd have to activate him and do some finagling, but they can find a way to do that, as they did with Adrian Sampson the other day to make way for Matt Mervis. So Cody Hoyer coming soon to a Cubs bullpen near you, and that is a bona fide 8th inning, 9th inning arm and option to add into the mix. Let's go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. Charlie is in Cedar Lake and is now on the score. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing? I wanted to follow up with what you were just saying. Do you think that the Cubs are going to make a trade with all the extra talent they've got in the clubhouse right now for an actual closer?
Who do you want to give up? Who do you want to give up from that clubhouse, sir?
That's where it's tough. I mean, you know, you've got Hosmer, you got Vasquez, you got Mancini. I don't want to lose any of them, but I mean, it just seems like they got to do something as they're playing so well to get an actual closer, because Aljale has been used so much too as just a reliever.
Yeah, well, now I think you're more likely to see them take their time and bring back Cody Hoyer rather than make any sort of trade from the big league club. By the way, it should be mentioned that yesterday Keegan Thompson went three innings and struck out two and only gave up one hit. So I should mention that and remind myself and all of you that they love him as the bulk inning reliever, because, and they loved Albert that way too. I think all things being equal, they would keep both Thompson and Alzolay in their bulk reliever spots where they could go an inning if needed, or they could go two, or they could occasionally go three like Thompson did yesterday. Kept you in a ball game after the short start from Drew Smyly, and then somebody else would be the closer. But I think they'll look in-house for that person to develop, whether it's Hoyer. I don't think it's going to be Jeremiah Estrada. I know you're big on Cam Sanders there, Mr. Sears. So there will be some options. And then if it comes time that they do need to make a deal, they will. But, you know, it's just fun to think about the Cubs as a possible buyer at this point. That is a
Isn't
delightful
it fun,
thing.
Man? Yes. Oh, my gosh.
That is indeed a delightful thing to think about. This is Willie on the north side, who I'm told is upset with me. Willie, bring it. Why are you upset with me? Let's talk.
Because, Speaks, the last time I called you, we talked about race in baseball.
Yes, sir.
And I made a controversial statement. And then a caller called up after that, and he disagreed with me a little bit. And then you must have looked up my name and my work. And you put my full name with my middle initial and my workplace out there without my permission.
Oh, okay. All right.
We didn't talk about that. I didn't give you permission to do that.
Okay.
Now, I'm on the internet. I'm on several websites. People can look me up, but that's not something you and I agree to. I believe that most of these callers are pretty anonymous. And I just want to explain to you, in my kind of work, this could be a little dangerous for wackos out there. When I talk about race and racism, there are people out there who, in these days, get a little zealous on this stuff.
All right, Willie, I understand that. My goal was to give you credit for what I thought were tremendous conversations, and I appreciated the input. And I feel like I understand what you're saying. I overstepped in terms of violating your privacy, and you certainly are allowed to have whatever level of anonymity as a phone caller you desire. So I apologize for that.
Now to my other point. I appreciate that. I appreciate the thank you. I appreciate the apology. My other point, I feel like the Cubs need to, I know you talked about not doing a trade. I still think from time to time they go quiet and they need another bat. They need a big bat. They need a home run hitter. I know they just brought up this rookie who's supposed to be that, but I would feel more comfortable if we got a career guy who hits a lot of home runs. They got rid of Willie, and I loved Wilson Contreras. He was my guy. I miss him desperately. We need a home run hitter. I, too, would like a trade to get a confident guy in the middle who would just hit a lot of home runs.
Thank you, Willie, for the call. That I don't see. But we'll have to see how the season progresses. Mervis has legit power and has always had legit power. What was in doubt was whether he would swing and miss at everything or whether he would accept his walks and control the strike zone and be a guy that you could trust to have tons of at-bats so that power would indeed manifest. He has proven to do that, and he's proven to do that at every level, and now he gets a chance to do it at the big league level. He tries not to swing at balls outside of the strike zone. He takes his walks. He destroys strikes when he gets them, and he stays in fearlessly against lefties. I think Matt Mervis being in that lineup a lot, and he will be, is going to add to your power sources, along with Bellinger, who's been great, and Wisdom, who's been great, and Mancini, who has some, and Suzuki, who has some, and Happ, who has some. And I think you're going to be in a spot where you're not desperately missing that. I understand the concern, but I don't know that that has ended up being as high on the wish list as maybe it would be. Cubs are ninth in the big leagues in home runs at 41 and just called up one of the premier sluggers in minor league baseball.
42 home runs dating back to last year.
For Matt Mervis.
Mm-hmm.
Every step of the way. Christopher Morel has a little power too. He'll be up here at some point.
202 weighted runs creation right now.
For Christopher Morel?
That is correct.
Yeah. But meanwhile, before he is up here, Nelson Velasquez has some power, and that's the guy he would probably replace. You know, one more thing before we take a break, and then we'll take some more calls. Kudos to Eric Hosmer for being an adult and understanding where he is in his career and having had conversations already with David Ross and with the front office, and I bet those conversations happened before he agreed to sign here, where he knows that he's going to be a bench player. That's a really good eye and a good hitter's mind as a pinch hitter off the bench. You wish he had a little more defensive flexibility. At least Mancini can play in a corner outfield spot if need be. I know you got three first basemen now. But think of, with the DH, you've got three guys to fill those two roles. And what's going to be interesting is when Suzuki...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Needs DH at bats, or Happ needs DH at bats, or Swanson every once in a while needs DH at bats, or that kind of thing. Then one of those guys will sit. But the default is always going to be Hosmer. But kudos to Hosmer for being comfortable at this point in his career to support Mervis, to back up everybody, and to be part of a winning atmosphere. And I think he will have value in that room for Mervis and for others. 312-644-6767 is the number. I want to bring you a very, very cool confluence where one of the hottest new hitters in MLB got a chance to play against his idol. And also, we'll take some more of your calls. And then at 10:40, you'll hear from Vida Blue, who just passed away late last night and was on this show a couple years ago. It's going to be an interview worth your time. Cole Wright from Marquee at the top of the hour. It's Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
That's indeed what you're listening to. Want to squeeze in one more call here before we take a break. We're going to play for you Vida Blue on this radio show a couple years ago. Trust me, folks, it's worth it. Vida Blue just passed away this morning. A great pitcher in Major League Baseball from 69 to 86. and those Oakland A's dynasty teams in the early 70s. He was a huge part of that. The answer to an incredible trivia question, which I talk about with him in the conversation. And I just want to hear the man's voice after he passed away. Top of the hour, Cole Wright from the Marquee Sports Network. And so much more coming on Hit and Run. But this is Stan in Bellwood, who wants to talk about these incredibly uplifting White Sox. Hi, Stan.
Hey, Speaks. How are you, my man?
I'm good,
hey,
man.
Yeah, before I get to the White Sox real quick, let me just say RIP. That's very sad news to Vida Blue. I mean, I remember that first magical season of his like it was yesterday. And you're right. He was one of the key cogs in that early 70s Oakland dynasty. And he was a very, very good, effective, hard-throwing left-hander who made an impact. And on the other end of the spectrum, happy birthday to – he just turned 92 the other day, my boyhood hero, Willie Mays. It just – in the case of both Mays and Vida Blue, it just makes you ask the question, where did the time go?
Yeah, man. By the way, same birthday as my father, Herb Spiegel, is 90. Same birthday as Willie Mays. They share a birthday. So,
yeah, your dad and Willie Mays, the two greatest baseball players I've ever seen with my own eyes. All right. Say hello to him for me.
I will.
Listen, Speaks, I'm with Bob Nightingale. I say let the fire sale begin. I've seen enough. This season was foreseeable, you know, to anybody that was paying attention. The White Sox of 2023 entered the season not addressing the same holes that they had entering the 2022 season. I told you when the season started, I ran to the betting windows to get the under 83 win total. That's a money in the bank lock in early May. That's unheard of. I mean, I just that's the only good thing about the, you know, the start of this season with the White Sox. But I figured that they would be mediocre this year, but even I didn't think that they would be pathetic. They are one of the dregs of baseball. 9-22 was the absolute low point. The window is closed on this bunch, Speaks, and there's no point in sticking with the same people that put you here.
Well, that's the issue. The issue is that the people that put you here, in terms of Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, are going to be allowed to stay here, I would think, until Jerry Reinsdorf sells the team. Even if he promotes Chris Getz and lets Chris Getz make a bunch of decisions, and maybe that happens this year, I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen in the middle of the season and have Chris Getz be the guy in charge of deciding who they trade and what they trade them for, taking those decisions out of Rick Hahn's hands, unfortunately. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. Even if that happens, I don't think there's really much reason to believe it's going to be different. It's systemic. It is deeply problematic, and I've ranted enough about it. But let me just say one more time, it's about, in this league, how you scout, draft, teach, and develop. And they don't do those things well. Through the minors and at the major league level, they don't do those things well. I think they're trying. I think they're trying to hustle and catch up, but it's never been a priority. And now that it has been more of a priority, they're still playing catch up and they don't have a cohesive organization that really makes it happen. We'll talk more about it during the course of the morning and, of course, the season. When we come back, the great Vida Blue, rest in peace. Hear him on Hit and Run from a couple years ago. Worth your time. Next on The Score.
When I first started focusing on Major League Baseball, it was when the great Oakland A's teams were coming up back in the 70s. So, you know, Vida Blue, yeah, I just love the mix of those guys.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
And now let's look at Vida Blue, the sensation 21-year-old left-handed pitcher. Vida, as Kurt mentioned, will be facing a power-laden National League lineup, led off by the great Willie Mays.
I don't think any pitcher's ever come into this All-Star game with more pressure. This game doesn't count in the standings, but Vida Blue has just been hounded since he's been here by the press, the radio, the television, the public. ground ball to shortstop. Aparicio up, and Willie Mays is out. One down. Henry Aaron will be the next batter. Big bounding ball to Brooke Robinson. And his throws, Aaron, are two down. Joe Torre will be the next man up. A high fly to shallow center. Looks like an easy 1-2-3 inning for Vida Blue. Mercer lost his cap. Look out. Carew goes back. And that's it. The National League is easily retired by Vida Blue in the top of the first. Here's Vida Blue.
Vida Blue. I said, woo! Vida Blue. If you're looking for a hero, exciting and new, there's a boy in Oakland named Vida Blue. He throws a fastball like it was shot from a gun. Everybody's talking that he's number one. That's Vida Blue. He's good looking. Throws BBs too. Vida's still a youngster. Yes, he's just a boy. But let me tell you, he's the real McCoy.
This was such a good find. Man, I was excited when we found this song by Albert Jones. I know you know this. They probably used to use it. They still use it for you on the radio, on the TV out there in San Francisco and the Bay Area, Vida Blue?
No, Matt, because you have the only other copy of that thing. I think they only printed one vinyl of that, and I have a 45 back in my archive somewhere. But it's great memories, especially the All-Star game. It seems like it was yesterday that I faced Willie Mays, and he hit that ground ball to Louis Aparicio, and Brooks Robinson made the play on Hank Aaron, and Joe Torre hit a little pop-up. But I gave up a home run to Hank Aaron, I think, the second time I faced him. And I later found out that it was his first extra base hit in All-Star competition. But he hit a ball off me in the right center field. It went as far as almost as the one that Reggie hit when he was pinch hitting for me, I think in the bottom of the third inning, because I pitched three innings. And that was the norm back then. You pitch three innings, and they would bring in another pitcher. But Reggie pinch hit me and hit that home run off the light tower. But anyway, how you doing in Chicago, man? How's everything?
Oh, man, we are good. Vida Blue joins us right now, courtesy of Steve and Mitch over at Autograph One. And he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, here on Hit and Run and 670 The Score. We're doing good, man. We got two first-place teams in Chicago. This does not happen in September where you get two first-place teams, and we're getting a chance. The Cubs, we know, have been on top for a while, but now it's the White Sox, a young, very passionate, exciting, and fun White Sox team. Baseball can be a beautiful thing when it is played well by excitable young men, and it is being played well right now, Vida Blue, so we're doing well.
What odds of there being a crosstown rivalry in the World Series? What, about 20 trillion to one?
Well, those odds are lower this year. They're both good. They're both going to get in. They're both going to get into the postseason. But this is the irony, is that if it does happen this year, there's going to be no fans, and it might be in a bubble in Arlington, Texas. What the hell is that? That's not right. I mean, at least... Yeah,
unfortunately, the fans are missing out, and I know the players miss the fans, as well as the fans miss being in the stadiums and doing their thing when they cheer and boo in a respectful way to the opposing team as well as the home team, you know?
Yeah, can you imagine playing? What would that have been like for you to play without fans? Were you a guy that fed off it when you were on the mound, when it was your day? Did you feed off it, or were you a guy that needed to block them out?
I liked the electricity when I walk out to the bullpen and start warming up, and then they announce the starting lineup. You know, batting third, Reggie Jackson, and the crowd goes wild. And I used to feed off that, kind of like, you know, you get the energy from that home crowd, and that's what I enjoyed. Sometimes you get it from the road visiting. When you're a visiting player, you get it from that home team crowd anyway. But I like it when I'm in Oakland and pitching and doing my thing. And we had a good run, as you guys in your lead in about the A's. We did our thing for 5 years. We won five divisional titles and three championships in between that. So I was lucky to be there at the right time.
Yeah, my goodness, those three straight World Series teams, and then the Red Sox get by you in 75. But before all of that, Vida Blue is listening to Hit and Run on 670 The Score. the greatest year of your career, one of the greatest of anyone's, really, where you win Cy Young and MVP, and I still use the trivia question of you as the switch hitter to win the American League MVP.
Who's the last American League switch hitting MVP?
That's you. Now,
have you won money off that?
I have. But and you know what? I looked at the splits. You really were a switch hitter. You were hitting lefty against righties and righty against lefties. Were you always a switch hitter, Vida?
No, you know, I'm so screwed up, man. I do everything right-handed. I eat right-handed. I write right-handed. I throw left-handed. When I play football, I punt a football with my right foot. I used to comb my hair right-handed when I still had hair. I shave right-handed. I brush my teeth right-handed. So I don't know how I got to be left-handed. And I play golf right-handed, so I'm not sure what happened. I didn't go to Catholic school. They said in Catholic school, the nuns used to beat your head with a rule if you were left-handed to make you be right-handed. But I don't know how true that is, but I've had people tell me that. But, I'm as we say in Louisiana, even-handed, but the proper word is ambidextrous, I guess.
There it is. All right, wait. So let's go back to Louisiana. Let's go back before 1971 then. As far as I know, Vida Blue, you growing up in Louisiana, not just a great pitcher. You once had a no-hitter where you struck out 21 in a seven-inning game. I can do that math. That's everybody. But you also walked 10 guys and I believe lost the game, if that fact is true. But here's what I'm more interested in. That as a senior, you threw as a quarterback for 3,400 yards, 35 touchdown passes, and rushed for 1,600 yards. It all as a senior football player. Did you want to play football? I know Houston recruited you. I believe Notre Dame. Do you ever look back and think, I mean, it's a hell of a baseball life that you've had, Vida Blue, but do you ever look back and think, man, what kind of quarterback would I have been?
Well, the question would have been, would they allow me as an African-American player to play quarterback? You know, they turned all those guys into wide receivers and running backs and defensive backs. But here's what happened. My father, Vida Blue Sr., who worked in a steel mill his whole life, he passed my senior year in high school. Now that creates a different situation for me. So I'm oldest of six kids, so now I've got to become the breadwinner for my four sisters, brother, and my mom. So I talked my mom into going to a tryout camp in Texas, a baseball tryout camp in two tryout camps in Texas. And they put me on, you know, I had a little profile on me. So I got drafted to play baseball, and that's how I made the decision. Of course, I went to play football. Football is my favorite sport in baseball. I just did for recreation because my other buddies and classmates played baseball. But I had a guy on my team played tight end, and he was the center on the basketball team. He was Keller Winslow before Keller Winslow was Keller Winslow. This guy could block. He could go deep. He was an outstanding basketball player. He got recruited to play basketball, but unfortunately for him, he went to the Army. And the second guy that my split in was a tall, lanky left-handed guy named Jesse Hutchins, who played baseball also. And he got drafted by the Mets. Unfortunately, when he got drafted by the Mets, they had Tom Seaver and Jerry Kuzman and Lynn Swan and Tug McGraw and a guy named Nolan Ryan on the Mets. But he was just as good as I was as far as being a baseball player. But he was my split out. So that attributed to me throwing those 35 touchdown passes. Because the reason I got recruited by the University of Houston was my high school ran a triple option type offense the way that the Houston Cougars ran back in the day. And that's why they recruited me to play football at the University of Houston. And from that trip, it was my first airplane ride from Shreveport, Louisiana to Houston. And they knew I played baseball. So I went on a recruiting trip to the Astrodome to see the Houston Colt 45s, who later became the Houston Astros. Sure. But I spent the whole evening looking up in the top of this Astrodome trying to figure out why it wasn't imploding on me, man. Somebody had, you know, those mechanical engineers know all that stuff about bending and weights and stuff. So I spent the whole evening trying to figure out why that thing was, how that stayed up there, man. I'm just at this dome stadium. I don't think they had put AstroTurf in at the time, but it was a great trip and a great time for me. But baseball has opened a lot of doors for me, Matt. So otherwise, I might not have gotten a chance to speak to you today.
That's exactly right. Would you like to see more like to see more African American kids choosing baseball, Vida. It's an issue now that it's been an issue for a long time that there's just there's not that many. We've got a few in town. We've got Ed Howard, a great story. He was the Cubs' first round draft pick, and we follow that. And we've been talking to a lot of people about it. Why don't more kids choose baseball, you think?
Well, I'm not sure, but baseball is their second sport. They play football and baseball. They play basketball and football, and baseball sometimes would be the third sport. I don't know if they start recruiting in the black neighborhood or stop looking for those kids. I don't know if there are any black scouts still out there, but something's got to be done. I'm not sure what the exact reason is why the black kids are not playing baseball. Or they still play, but it's not their number one sport, and it's got to change because baseball is a great sport. No pun intended. And it has opened a lot of doors for me, as I said earlier. But it's a great sport, and I think it's something that I'm glad that I chose over football. But I know my life as a football player. Who knows how long that would have been, the life expectancy of a football player, especially at the skill positions are, 7 to 10 years. And I played 17 years in the major leagues and for three different teams, the A's, Giants, and Kansas City Royals. But I don't walk with a limp from getting my knee shattered or anything. So luckily, I never had any arm surgery or injuries as a baseball player. And I took pretty good care of myself, and I had good genes from my mother, Sally Blue, who's not with us anymore, and my father, Vita Blue Sr., who I stated earlier that after his passing, I chose baseball because I did get drafted by the Oakland A's in 1968 or 67, I think it was. But anyway, it's been a great life, Matt, and I love doing what I still do for the Giants as the ambassador for the game of baseball.
Let's talk about that 1971 year, Vida. Cy Young MVP, 24-8, an ERA of 1.82, 24 complete games. That doesn't happen. What clicked for you that year, and what clicked for you really in the big leagues to make you the pitcher that you became? Because you could always throw hard, but I'm guessing that by the time you're rolling, it's about more than just throwing hard for you.
Well, it is cool to be able to throw the ball 95 miles per hour plus, but you got to have location and control. The art of pitching is having control of the ball to throw it over the plate. As far as me concerned, I want to throw strikes 8 out of 10 pitches. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time with the A's. We had a great young team, and I was a new kid on the block, and I just happened to be in that, what they call, used to say, being in that zone. And I was in the zone for a whole season. And to pitch 300 innings, 312 strikeouts, whatever the number was. But it was a fun time for me. And, it's something I'll never forget. It seemed like it was yesterday, but it'll be 50 years next year, I think it is. And, again, I keep saying this, baseball has been very, very, very good to me, man. And it has. It's the life. And who would have thought a kid from Mansfield, Louisiana, would have made it to the big leagues and made a name for himself as a successful major league pitcher. And I got a chance to do that. And I thank the good Lord every day for blessing me with the ability to have good health all those years. And never had arm surgery, like I said. So I'm blessed in that regard to have good health in these winning days of my life. As a retired person.
Hey, Vida, they used to say of the Chicago Bears ownership here in Chicago that they throw nickels around like they're manhole covers, right? and it's a good line, but I don't know what Chicago fans would have thought of Charlie Finley, because you played for, I mean, that is, I think that is the cheapest of them all, but it's like, give people an example of what playing for Charlie Finley was like, because
I'm gonna give you this. Compared him to Ted Turner, George Steinbrenner, Donald Trump, and that's enough. He was all those people mixed up. Oh, Al Davis. He was all those people mixed into one. But he was just a tough self-made millionaire, and he just happened to get involved in baseball, and he wanted to do everything his way, but there are rules and regulations and guidelines that owners have to adhere to when they're running a baseball team, because you have this group of owners that would definitely vote you down on issues that, that you think you should have the right to. He wanted to have a pinch runner like they do in the high school softball that can a designated pinch runner that could pinch run for yep. a base, a, when somebody got on base anytime, anywhere. And they said, no, 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 I don't like that. And which leads me to tell you about this. I know baseball is doing the best it can to accommodate the fans through radio and TV, but this thing about extra innings with a man starting out on second base, that drives me wacko. That just drives me crazy.
It does? I find myself enjoying it, actually, Vida. I don't miss the 17, 18-inning games.
Come on, man. Matt, that's Little League stuff. You can't. How did he – why is he on second base? Did he hit a double?
No. No, he did not.
Thank you. Okay.
But
I rest my case, Matt. I rest my case.
They want the game to end, man. They want the game to end. I feel like, look, I love the game.
You know how you make Matt? Yeah. You know how you make the game end?
How's that?
Hit a walk off 2-out home run. Then you can go home.
Yeah, you're not a fan of the leadoff 2-run homer, are you?
No,
I'm
a defensive specialist. I don't want to give the guy second base automatically.
I'll
lean towards you, just Matt. You sound like you're a nice guy. All right,
oh man,
we'll leave him. Okay, let's put him at first base at least, not second. Damn,
second's too far. Like you'd be out there pitching, like how'd that guy get that? I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with that.
I'd be pitching from the windup. Forget he's there, man.
How about seven?
Now he's on third.
How about 7-inning doubleheaders, Vida, in a season like this? I'm all right with 7-inning doubleheaders. You're probably not though either.
Yeah, I can deal with that. I understand that.
Look
but
at that.
Matt, here's all they had. All they have to do is expand the rosters, but that's a no-go. But if you expand the roster, that allows you to have more pitches. So if the game continues to go extra innings, you'll be set for that. But you got to learn how to use your bullpens. It's a sprint this time. It's not the old marathon. Mm-hmm. And what do we have? What 25 games left now?
Yeah.
25, 30 games?
The
A's going to have to play. I think the A's have to play a double hitter against the Mariners. They've got to play one against the Astros because they had a player that tested positive. So they had a couple of days off. They got stuck in Houston and missed the whole – they're going to fly from Houston to Seattle. They missed that whole series. And plus, they were boycotting one game to show support for the Black Lives Matter movement when they were in Dallas playing the Texas Rangers. So I think they have at least three double hitters that they've got to make up to finish the season out, man.
How have you felt, Vida, before we let you go, how have you felt to see that as a black man, to see so many teams, so many players trying to step up and make sure the conversation is taking place about racial equality? How have you felt to see that?
Well, I'm proud of the fact that the young players, African-American players, the few that there are, have bonded together to create this little coalition to speak out against injustices that are going on in our country. And of course, you got to tip your cap to the NBA and LeBron James. They say that Michael Jordan was on giving them some feedback and some guidelines as far as trying to get this thing done. It's a sad commentary to our lives that here we are in the year 2020 that these things are still going on, but that's life and life in America, man. Unfortunately, you know, if you see something, say something. And we need to keep the conversation alive. Boycotting and protesting, that's good. But I think everybody keeps saying make your vote count. So get out and vote prior to November 3rd, man.
That is Vida Blue, who passed away late last night and joined us here on Hit and Run about 3 years ago. As Peoria Matt said via text, Speaks, you got to interview Vida Blue. Exactly. What fun that was. Lots of Hit and Run coming your way. We're here until 12:45. Cole Wright from the Marquee Sports Network joins us next, and we'll also talk about that incredible failure down in St. Louis next hour. Keep it here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.